Welcome to Value-Based Care Insights, brought to you by Lumina Health Partners, a national healthcare consulting firm focused on improving the strategic, financial, and operational performance of provider organizations. On this program, we will explore trends and share valuable insights on how health systems and medical groups can optimize their performance to meet the demands of this increasingly complex healthcare environment and shift to transform the delivery of care. Value-Based Care Insights is hosted by Daniel Marino, Managing Partner of Lumina Health Partners. Daniel has been in the industry for over 3 decades and specializes in shaping strategic initiatives for organizations in areas such as population health, clinical integration, physician alignment, information technology, and data analytics. For additional insights, visit luminahp.com and sign up for our newsletter. Dan, over to you.
Welcome to Value-Based Care Insights. I am your host, Daniel Marino. When you think about population health, an important element in really driving the outcomes of a population or really delivering the care that patients need, care management is such a critical element. The right level of care management not only helps support physicians, and as we know, physicians are overtaxed these days, we have to determine ways to make it easier and more efficient for them. But care management also helps us deliver the outcomes that are absolutely critical to value-based contracts. So this concept of prospective care management is really gaining a lot of attention, especially as we start to work with organizations or as we see organizations taking on more full risk, global risk contracts. Well, I'm excited today to have two extremely knowledgeable guests talk about this concept of prospective care management. Our first guest is Dr. Rhea Pulichatam. She's a national expert in population health, has over 25 years of experience as a physician researcher and a national medical director. She's done a lot of research around outcomes, cost of care models, incorporating that into the right elements to drive efficient population health. My second guest as well is Kevin Zhao. He's co-founder and CEO of Carrot Health. Carrot Health is a platform that is really looking at a lot of different data and artificial intelligence to drive new care models and new care management. Dr. Rhea, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
So Dr. Rhea, maybe we could start with you. Given your experience, and you know, you certainly have had a lot over your career, what do you see as some of the key challenges in the traditional care management structure that we often see today?
Yes. So, you know, there are lots of challenges in the care management processes and structure today. The same when I first started 25 years ago. It hasn't changed much over the years. One of the main challenges, Dan, is it's more metrics driven, not outcomes driven.
Yes.
When I say metrics, it's important. Metrics is important because that's how they're measured, right? The care managers. So I'm not saying it should not be metrics driven, but it has to be equally and more outcomes driven. It also depends on the organization, right? Some organizations are more metrics driven, and some organizations are shooting for outcomes driven as well. But where do they start? Yeah.
Let me dive into that for a second, because you bring up a really interesting point. So when we think about diabetes, and let's say you have a patient who's a high-risk diabetic, and we have, let's say, a metric to measure their A1C level and high risk, let's say we consider it, you know, they have a 7.5, for instance. So I think what you're saying is oftentimes care management is really building the interventions around that metrics of 7.5 instead of thinking about what are the care management solutions that would almost drive the outcomes of reducing the high risk diabetic to maybe a 6.9, if you will.
Yes, but I was also focusing more on the metrics of how it's traditionally care management processes are set up, like high touch.
Mm-hmm.
How many calls did you make?
Right.
So reducing hemoglobin A1C would be an outcome.
Sure.
Right? So if you made your calls as a care manager, you've met your target. Who are the patients that you need to call? So they're focusing on that. And that's how they staff. Right? Right.
So but it's really the outcome of, yes. of what the care managers are doing that needs to be tracked.
Yeah, what is the result, right? So of course, when I'm the manager leading a team of care managers, I do want to set the metrics because I can measure how many calls they had to make. But at the end of the day,
yeah,
it is also the outcomes of their calls.
Well, it's the efficiency. Absolutely. So Kevin, let me turn to you for a second. Historically, it's been very difficult to measure the productivity of care managers. And I think especially to track it, how Dr. Rhea is describing, thinking about not only what they're doing, but what are they producing out of the work that they are creating within the care management platform. What's some of the data that you begin to look at to drive that level of outcome?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of existing point solutions today that track, I guess, the metrics that Dr. Rhea is talking about. So how many calls you made, how many minutes you spent, et cetera. And these platforms tend to do well in more of a fee-for-service type of environment where the goal is to rack up, generally as many transactions as possible and bill insurance. Within the value-based care space, which is where I focus on, these types of transactional tracking methods work less well. And what we have to do then is figure out ways to translate some of these transactional tracking methods into more of these outcomes based assessments. One way to do this, for example, is let's say if you have an entire population of patients, you want to be able to identify, one for each, cohort of patients, what's their likelihood of receptiveness to various, interventions or outreach. If you reach out to a patient, for example, how likely is that patient to actually follow through with what you're asking them, the patient to do? The second is, for example, the amount of effort, that each intervention outreach or task is going to take. So for example, mm-hmm. if you want a patient to, let's say, complete a colonoscopy, for example, or, get a test done, how much effort is it going to take to reach out to the patient, set up those appointments and follow up with them? And then the last one is the actual outcomes ROI of that, right. Task or this intervention effort. So if a patient does go through with their colonoscopy, mammogram, or et cetera, what's that ROI for you as a value-based organization? And I think measuring the overall effectiveness productivity is a factor that, it's a formula that you have to multiply all these together. In terms of knowing that your team, has very limited resources, let's say out of 1,000 tasks, like outstanding gaps, you'll only be able to handle, let's say 100, per week or 100 per month or whatever the bandwidth is. How do you make sure that the highest ROI, overall tasks are done, first before trickling down?
Oh, absolutely. And that's a great point, because I'll tell you, many CFOs, they understand what the costs are of investing in care management. What is difficult to track is the ROI. And
that's right.
And I think if you're going to start with that, Dr. Rhea, it seems to me, as Kevin was talking about it and describing, those three elements, the care pathway, the care protocol, the clinical pathway care protocols that are put in place are critical, right? I mean, I think that's the source of truth.
Yes. So care pathways are, very important as they assist us in clinical decision-making. Right. And they also provide a recommended course of action. As these patients, unfortunately, especially the most, expensive patients, right, the high risk patients, they don't come with just one comorbid condition. They come with multiple chronic conditions. Yeah. And when you have multiple chronic conditions, you really need to balance, and you also need to, coordinate this care pathway with social determinant issues. So if they're tied together, then it becomes a really good protocol. And if that is not automated, then it's very difficult for any care manager, if their data resides, in a siloed manner in Excel spreadsheets, and it's not all tied in appropriately, then what happens is there are these blind spots. You're not aware of some things, you forget some things. And at the end of the day, it just becomes more complex and more confusing. And then you don't get to the right data. So care pathways are only as good as how you position them and how you automate them and how accessible it is for you on every patient.
So really this new model but moving into more prospective care management, to your point, you have to have the pathways, but you really do have to have the right level of data that comes together within a tool, right? That drives the level of insight, drives the level of support that's needed. So the care managers really know who they need to touch, what they need to touch with the patient, and really deliver more focused care to the patient, as opposed to having them try to figure out with all of these data points what care should be delivered and when.
Yeah. And, you know, just to give you an example, if you keep, you know, it more metrics driven, right? At the end of the day, you've done your tasks that are expected of you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have the right care pathways automated with the data all coming together, what's going to happen? You have a patient with multiple chronic conditions, and then you have certain medications that are not updated because the systems haven't talked to each other.
Right.
You don't know if the patient's social determinant issues are changed over time. You don't know if the patient needs food, no caregiver, medications are not refilled. If you miss any of those components and you just do your task of reaching out because you want to tick mark that, you know, you've done your part, you've missed so much information. What's the next thing you're going to do?
Well, and to your point, you're never going to truly achieve the outcome that you need to achieve for that particular patient because you're just relying on the task.
Yeah. And if you don't have a technology, see, I will tell you, we are the last industry to get into technology because we as physicians, nurses, and healthcare professionals, we care about our patients. We work very, very hard. And at the same time, to give a lot of, you know, time to helping integrate technology, we used to see it as a waste of time. But now, after the pandemic, we've realized that we cannot scale without it. So the realization has come. It's also now the leaders who lead these organizations, they need to also be updated and educated. So we as healthcare professionals need more education on what's out there. There's a lot of information and a lot of innovation happening, but we need that education, and that's missing.
I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely correct. If you're just tuning in, I'm Daniel Marino, and you're listening to Value-Based Care Insights. I'm here today talking with Dr. Rhea Pilla-Chatham and then Kevin Zhao, and having a fascinating discussion around prospective care management. Kevin, I'm going to turn to you, building off of a little bit of what Dr. Rhea had said. The technology, the data is critical, right? In providing that level of support to the care managers. How does technology, and maybe it's more around artificial intelligence, how does that come into play to really support efficiency in care management, support really the tools that the care managers need in order to drive the right level of outcomes?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think to really assess that, it'd be good to take a really quick step back and look at the existing environment. And I can break it down to three sections, so to speak. The first section is your existing care management solutions, which from my observations are mostly, you know, inpatients, you know, optimized for hospital administration, really optimized to rack up transactions, you know, really good and fee-for-service environments. That's kind of the status quo for care management solutions. Then within the realm of value-based care, most value-based care products are primarily, you know, data warehouses, you know, very high level that can, you know, ingest data for all your population and automate queries and identify lists, you know, of patients who maybe aren't meeting certain metrics. And then lastly, you have your point solutions. Let's say your diabetes based solutions, or your CHF based solutions, or digital health solutions, et cetera, which have pretty narrow focus, and have a hard time really integrating with the overall objectives you're trying to hit from a value-based care perspective.
So about the technology, in your experience, and obviously you're doing a lot of work with different platforms and have a lot of experience in this area. In your experience, are the care management platforms that are out there today, are they able to drive that level of output that we need, looking at all of these data elements that you've described, or is this, continuous new evolving technology?
I think it's probably the latter. A lot of the really big existing solutions, again, from my point of view, are optimized for the old model of healthcare, which is racking up as many transactions as possible, billing, reimbursement codes, et cetera, operating within, inpatient, hospital environments. And I think the next wave of technologies really fits your prospective model, which is you can, reach the patients before they end up in the hospital or ER, primarily using more outpatient-based methods, et cetera, and focus more on outcomes. How do you optimize, kind of the workflows to get outcomes and not just, focus on racking as many calls or visits or, kind of touch points as possible, because those, while maybe correlated with outcomes, aren't the outcomes themselves.
Well, and that's really where we need to go. We do quite a bit of work with organizations on helping them to what I kind of call the journey to risk, right? Think about all of the infrastructure that they need in order to efficiently engage and be successful in a risk-based contract. Moving to prospective care management and understanding the data and the modeling becomes absolutely critical, but you have to have the technology to do it. Without the technology, you're never going to achieve those efficiency outcomes. And I think, Dr. Rhea, that's really your point. So just building off of what Kevin said, obviously, to move into more prospective care management, it's critical, right, to the outcomes. It's to achieving the performance of the contract, especially as organizations are moving into, risk-based contracts, global risk contracts. How much of this prospective care management approach, how much of this relies on the culture change that's required with our care management staff, with our nurses, with our navigators? Is this a big culture change for them to think more prospectively, or is this an easy transition for them?
Yes. So, it's tricky because as healthcare professionals, we all understand the importance of outcomes. And I think we all come to the table with that aspect. But I think the design of the systems are flawed. The way, every organization is thinking about their priorities, right? So traditionally, it's and continues to be to a large extent is reimbursement, what have you done? So it's always those kind of tasks that have you completed your tasks? So unless and until there is a really big shift, we talk about value-based care all the time. And I've been in an organization for many, many years where value to outcomes was priority because it was led by folks that believed in it so much. And today, it continues to be the belief, but are we changing the systems, the payment models?
Yes.
Everything has to go hand in hand,
Has to be
right?
aligned.
Yes.
Absolutely.
For example, coordinating between medical and social issues. It's done as a PRN when needed. Why aren't we thinking when we look at certain zip codes, certain patient population, let's take the time to analyze their need. What does the patient need? We put a label, non-compliant patients. Believe me, as human beings, when we are struggling, we try to look for help. But if we are put on hold or we are not given that oxygen tank when we really request it, when we are not given the food in real time, when we don't have the food and we tell our care managers, but then they have to talk to social workers, then they have to talk to somebody else, but they've completed their task, they've touched the patient. How do you think we can bring a lot of change culturally, a lot of change to organizations when organization has to put in that process? And I'll tell you, care managers are always understaffed. They believe
they always are understaffed.
I believe they're understaffed. You know why? Because not efficient.
Yeah.
Systems don't support them. And I feel my heart goes out to care managers because they are overworked, but they're overworked in an inefficient manner because they are set to fail. So what we have to say, or we have to do, sorry, is really think about rethinking care management. How do we rethink? Give them the innovative solutions. We ourselves as leaders have to learn, what are those innovative solutions? Are those innovative solutions validated? Have they done a study to show that it's working?
Right.
What is the outcome?
Yeah, then, and we're creating the right level of efficiencies and outcomes, right? That's really where we need to go.
Then incorporate them and support and redesign some of that. And then also the reimbursement has to tie into that redesign, which is outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I sort of bring it down to, and we talk about this all the time, the success comes down to people, process, and technology. But the process has to evolve. So you're thinking about delivering this care differently, not just task-oriented, but outcomes-oriented, is, I think, to your point. And the technology needs to become more robust, right? So it needs to incorporate all of that data and synthesized in such a way that it becomes more of a resource to our care managers. So then with under the people part of that equation, the care managers provide more success around their outcomes and then align to that incentive, I think really is what it comes down to.
Yes.
So Kevin, let me ask a question and real quick, being that so much data now is figuring into the care of the patients, right? It's not just the clinical data that's important, but, you know, as Dr. Rhea said, it's the social determinant data, it's the lifestyle data, you know, there's financial data that comes in. It's so in understanding that, obviously, artificial intelligence is a way to help us understand and make sense of all of that data. How, in your experience, does that fit into an optimal care management or a prospective care management program?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think from a very high level, it boils down to how do you optimize your workload for your care managers with respect to outcomes? And to dive a little bit deeper, there's a few factors I think we can look at. First is, as Dr. Rhea mentioned, resource management. So if you know, for example, your maximum bandwidth is one medical assistant per 1,000 patients, and that's all you can afford, you know, how do you actually create workflows that's manageable, you know, given, you know, those constraints? The second part is, you know, trying to be able to predict or identify patients who are already enrolled in your intervention programs based on the rate at which, let's say, you know, tasks are being performed and patient responsivity, you know, identify patients who are likely to, you know, really fail various, you know, compliance measures, you know, 6 to 9 months in advance, and be able to focus on these patients, you know, prospectively. So that's the second part. The third one really is figuring out, you know, kind of, as I mentioned before, you know, be able to assess the ROI of all the tasks being done by your staff with respect to these outcomes. So one component again is, you know, figuring out which across your entire patient population, identifying, you know, which patients are likely to be receptive to certain points of outreach, which ones are not. And so, for example, if you have 1,000 patients and there's 150 of them that, you know, you could engage with them until you're blue in the face and they won't do anything, it's probably not worth spending too much time on these patients. Whereas for maybe these 300 patients over here, if you spend X amount of time, you know, they may actually give, you know, Y amount of engagement. You know, you may want to spend, you know, more time on these patients.
Kevin, Dr. Rhea, I really want to thank you for your time today. The conversation I think has been great. I firmly believe moving into prospective care management is just critical to organizations, certainly as they perform on these value-based contracts, and certainly as they move into risk. Kevin, if any of our listeners today are interested in learning a little bit more about some of the topics we talked about, or maybe Care at Health, is there a website you can offer, or maybe LinkedIn address or something of that nature?
Yeah, of course. So our company, Care at Health, you know, really focuses on helping risk-bearing entities create these turnkey programs, focused on prospective care management. Our website is www.caretheahlth.com. That's spelled C-A-R-E-T, health.com. Feel free to visit and learn, request more information. We have videos, and you can also request a demo on our website as well.
Great. Well, I appreciate that. And Dr. Rhea, I especially appreciate you coming on today and providing a lot of your background and vast amount of experience you have on the national level, and certainly all the research that you've done within population health. As we talked about, I firmly believe this is critical to the success and the future direction of value-based care. So thank you both for joining today.
Thank you, Dan. And I just want to, thank you for the opportunity. But also, yes, I'm continuing to do a lot of research work to progress the practice of medicine, also reduce the total cost of care, because as you know, in the US, we are number 32 in quality and number one in expense.
Yeah, absolutely. And that does need to change. You are absolutely right. Well, I want to thank all of our listeners today for tuning in. And until our next insight, I am Daniel Marino, bringing you 30 minutes of value to your day. Take care.
Are you at a crossroad with value-based care? Do you need to chart a future strategy or improve your organizational performance? Visit us at luminahp.com to learn more about our consulting services and leadership development programs. Also, you can sign up for our newsletter on our website and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn. For more information about value-based care insights, visit the program's page on healthcareradionow.com or luminahp.com. Join the conversation using our hashtag VBCInsights. We are Lumina Health Partners. Thank you for joining us today. Until the next value-based care insight, stay well.